Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another episode of the Daily Friend Wrap. I'm your host, Nicholas Larimer, today joined by Makwane Amaja. Let's continue on with talking about the ongoing Joburg water crisis. So the crisis does seem to have lessened somewhat of late. The number of suburbs being affected has diminished. However, the worst hit areas continue to be the areas in Randburg around the Gowrie and Linden. And it emerged yesterday that there may in fact have been a very silly reason contributing to the lack of water restoration to these areas. So I live in one of these affected areas, and basically what had happened was the Eichenhof pumping station had gone down, cutting off probably, I'm not sure exactly what, but maybe a third of Johannesburg from water for about 12 hours, all the way from Soweto up to Roodepoort and including Randburg. That was apparently due to a lightning strike which destroyed the power to the pumping station. Once that was repaired, water has returned slowly, but within about 2 or 3 days, it had returned to most of the suburbs across Johannesburg. However, this area had not really seen a restoration of water. And this was very strange. Joburg Water kept putting out these statements saying, you know, we're looking into this, working into this, we're expecting recovery now, we're expecting recovery now, we're expecting recovery now. But the local ward councillors were receiving lots of complaints from their residents saying, there is no water. So they demanded multiple meetings with Joburg Water and with Rand Water. And it soon emerged that water that was supposed to be being supplied to the reservoirs from Rand Water didn't seem to be flowing in to the reservoirs. There was an investigation under pressure from the local ward councillors, and it was discovered that there was a closed valve that Rand Water had forgotten to open to supply Joburg Water with the water it needed. Now, the situation is not yet over. There are some parts which have seen water return, but there's a lot that have not. In fact, Joburg Water just about 2 hours ago released a statement saying that they have encountered some setbacks with the recovery of these reservoirs and that they are investigating to find out why. So we've also had the mayor talk on this, and he's just insisted that he's very, very serious about all of this. And in fact, the information about the closed valve kind of came to light in a very long slideshow presentation given to various councillors last night about this issue. But the confusing thing to me, Makwane, is I think this highlights some problems in the way the municipality has dealt with this crisis. Firstly, we've seen the fact that there are very few backup systems in place, and in fact, the city has had to scramble to try and put backup systems in place, whether it be extra power lines or extra water lines, in the event that something goes wrong. But it also seems to be the case that thorough testing has not been done of the system, and there has been, shall we say, a lack of enthusiasm about detecting the remaining problems in the system until now, when the public pressure is mounting. What do you make of all this?
It all comes back down to maintenance, Nick. I think there's just been such a hollowing out of institutions in South Africa that even the bare minimum things are not happening, like maintenance. And so you will see things like testing not taking place. And where testing is not taking place, people start to overcomplicate their problems, right? Because it's the valve, stupid. Just flick the switch, right? But even that did not occur to them, because we've gotten to a point where the problems are so structural in South Africa that we've started to overcomplicate them and overdiagnose what the problem could possibly be. That's one. Secondly, I think this just exposes to me the disingenuousness of statements from the mayor, for example, or from members of council who will talk about how the problem is being dealt with, and it's being dealt with for days and weeks now, and we promise you we're getting to the root of it, whereas these statements are really just pacifiers, and it is likely that not much is being done. And when something eventually gets done, it's because somebody's just lost it on council, like you said. So not enough. I also want to say not enough praise gets lauded to councillors, and especially in suburban areas, that actually do something about the problems that their residents are facing. But also, similarly, not enough work is going into maintaining critical services and pieces of infrastructure in the country, like water. Having no water in a suburb for over a week, I mean, the suburbans are now interfacing with problems that would typically arise in townships, and that are in every other week occurrence in the rural areas. It's frightening to see how much we are coming apart at the seams from the top to the bottom.
What makes this even worse is that apparently the closed valve was also affecting other municipalities in Gauteng and even in Northwest Province. So one wonders how long this would have gone on for if there hadn't been pressure put on Rand Water to investigate this. It does seem at this time like Rand Water was more to blame than Joburg Water. So Rand Water is the national water service or the provincial water service that provides water to the municipalities. So it doesn't seem entirely like it was Joburg Water's fault. But that just speaks to the problem being much larger than simply one municipality not functioning properly. As you say, it's just all of these institutions are not working correctly.
No, civilization, as dramatic as this sounds, is regressing, right? That's why we call them civil engineers. They allow us to live in close proximity as we do in the cities, but even our civil structures are failing at this point.
And it has not been helping my mental or physical health that there has been a massive heat wave during this water shortage. But anyway, let's move on to our next topic. And this is about the cost of living in South Africa, particularly as it affects the poor. So the South African Reserve Bank Governor, Lesego Kanyako, has said that interest rates are probably going to stay high for longer than many people in the business community were hoping. And he said that inflation remains sticky. It will be difficult to keep it down if interest rates are not maintained. Now, I think inflation is extremely destructive to an economy, generally speaking. So I think this is probably a good move to keep inflation under control, especially in an election year when there's a lot of pressure on government to make sure that the cost of living goes down, even temporarily, as much as possible before the vote. But Makone, you guys at the Center for Risk Analysis have done some research into this. What have you found?
Yeah, so this was research done by Mlondi where they developed a maize meal index, and they go around surveying the food basket of low-income women, right? Because we know that the market is saturated with women. Women make up what the market primarily constitutes. And they found that maize meal prices have gone up by nearly 30%, over 30%, actually just over 30%. So from around 500 Rand per 10 kgs to about 700 Rand. I'm not sure on the kgs part, but certainly the 30% is true. And I mean, maize meal is such a staple in South African household. I, for example, grew up eating bohobe pap on a daily basis. And I can only imagine for lower income households in South Africa, what a 200 Rand increase or over 30% increase would mean to already handling and distributing and dispensing with such few resources. So it's quite unfortunate to see the impact that inflation is having, and that even increases, right? We've, I think, just come out of negotiation season for trade unions, and even above inflation increases, within inflation increases will never, Nick, catch up to a 30% rise in a staple, such a staple as maize meal. So it's really unfortunate to see the impact of inflation on basic food necessities and food items in South Africa. The second thing that Mlondi points out is that inflation certainly plays a role in why maize meal is so expensive at present, but also things like minimum wage, right? Minimum wage is going to rise now, I think, from 20 Rand to 25 Rand. And minimum wage is basically proving to be a net negative, because what producers are going to do is push off those increases in wages to the consumer, which is us, which is buyers and people who buy groceries. And so you're seeing that even though minimum wage allows people, fewer people, of course, to be paid more, it also means that prices of goods and services are arbitrarily going to go up to be able to encompass and make up for the losses that business will incur in trying to afford things like minimum wage. They also include things like load shedding and electricity constraints as why prices of food and services have increased. So overall, just a lot of the structural issues that South Africa has are being inflated and pushed off to the South African consumer to deal with.
All right, let's move on to our last story for today. And this is about a police station in Garankuwa, north of Pretoria, which is, well, it has a bit of a problem, which is that it doesn't have electricity. This is reportedly caused by cable faults and the removal of a circuit breaker. And this means that the police station closes at night. meaning that the police are just simply not working in that area when the infrastructure is down. McCorner, this is one of those things that kind of makes you shake your head. In fact, it's not the first time we've seen service delivery of infrastructure, basic infrastructure stuff affect police stations. I believe that Sophia Town Police Station was temporarily shut down during this water crisis due to the lack of water making the building unsanitary. What do you make of this?
Yep, it's that knock-on effect of infrastructural issues affecting other areas of service delivery. But Nick, the fish rots from the top. We received reports, was it 2 weeks ago now, that the Minister of Police works from home. Now police stations are pretty much, some police stations in township like the one in Garankuwa are not operational at night. What a more inconvenient time than a police station to close than at night when there's an uptick in crime. It's incredible. It baffles me as well. But I also read in the article that the police are doing what they can, that they will huddle up in the little box that's designated for the security. To use their flashlights or their cell phones to perform whatever services they can, such as stamping and certifying documents, which is not nearly enough, right? We need police stations for far more. For a country that's concerned with increased crime, for a country that's concerned with things like GBV, for a country that's got so many issues that are crime related, you think tending to police stations and making sure that the lights are on, right, would be top priority, but it's not.
This reminds me of a story of someone I know tried to open an assault case, and they had video evidence to support the charges they were laying. And there was a police officer assigned to investigate this, but he didn't have data on his phone, so he couldn't get the video evidence that way. The police station's email system didn't work. They didn't appear to have any way of receiving the video. So this person had to go to the police station to actually deliver on a flash drive the video to the investigating officer. It may not surprise you to learn that that investigation appears to have gone absolutely nowhere, and received no real conclusion. So this really speaks to the fact that if you are a South African police officer and you are doing your best to do your job, you are a hero, because that is an environment that no one should have to do their job in. Okay, that's all the time we have for today. We hope that you found this interesting. We will be back tomorrow with the Daily Friend Wrap. Cheers, everyone. That's a wrap.